have a bunch of great storytellers up this half. Like I said, first up to the stage, a good friend of the Nerdologues, the head of the Versus the Universe Production Collective, and a wonderful human being, Mr. Aaron Amendola.
It was over a year ago where Eric Garneau called Versus the Universe a production collective. And I said, I'm going to steal that. And that's not one of our business cards, Eric. Thank you. Feels good to be back. Thank you, Danny Bass, for jumping in to the audience right here. I know that you are very, very stoked for this. So, Eric, back in January, I got the invite on Facebook for your stories, and I knew I couldn't go immediately, but I reached out to Eric and I said, I'm sorry, I've missed these for maybe 6 or 9 months. I definitely want to go, but it was something, video game came out, something, I don't know. I was not able to attend. But I said, I'm definitely in for February, and when he said it was fan fiction, I already knew what I wanted to talk about. So let's get into it. In mid-December, the most important event of our lives happened. And I'm, of course, referring to Star Wars Episode 7. Star Wars Episode 7 hit theaters, and it was actually, according to Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes, objectively good. 81% Metascore and a 92% fresh rating typically means that the consensus for any piece of art is good. Because the world needs more think pieces, the internet was overrun with pieces on what Star Wars was, is, and what it will be, and people I knew individually loved, hated it, and felt meh about it. The single most damning thing that I read about Star Wars Episode 7 was that it was nothing more than a piece of fan fiction. I was at my desk, and I immediately gripped my mouse a little bit harder, because that's just one of those things where I'm like, let's get into this. Let's take the statement that was just made, that Star Wars Episode 7 is nothing more than a piece of fan fiction, and separate it from a few key points. One, this has nothing to do with Rey. Two, this has nothing to do with Finn. Three, this is not about Poe Dameron, the badass of Rogue Squadron, who I will be when I grow up one day. This is about looking at a piece of art and claiming that it is fan fiction and seeing that as a negative. But before we dive into that, I'm sure Eric can fact check me here. I'm going to talk about Spider-Man. So Spider-Man, that is Spider-Man, because Spider-Man together is incorrect, was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko in 1962. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Great.
It might be 63.
But... I'm done. I need to leave.
I'm not positive.
Well, in the years since, Peter Parker, Gwen Stacy, Mary Jane Watson, all of his companions, they've seen dozens of new writers and artists who have taken Peter Parker's tale, his theming, and have extrapolated it into a number of different ideas and stories. This has occurred for better or for worse. For every Kraven's Last Hunt, we have a Clone War. For every Spider-Man Blue, we have a Spider-Man Reign. Yes. Those were bad. Now, Kraven's Last Hunt and Spider-Man Blue are some of my favorite, and that is backed up by general opinion. They're considered to be some of the very best Spider-Man stories ever to grace the history of Marvel, and they were not written by Stan Lee or Steve Ditko. For those of you that are trying to speak up on behalf of Spider-Man Reign or the Clone War, I don't know what to tell you. You are pretty much objectively wrong at this point. 11-year-old Aaron loved those stories. In retrospect, they are not great. Stan Lee and Steve Ditko played an incredibly important role in Spider-Man's history, and that is creation. It would be incredibly belittling to say that they didn't play a gigantic role in the character's history. Pivot back to Star Wars. Star Wars The Force Awakens was written by J.J. Abrams, Lawrence Kasdan, and Michael Arndt. It's important to note that George Lucas originally had ideas in place for episodes 7 through 9, but ultimately his storylines were tossed out. I'm not up here to debate whether or not episode 7 is equal to or better than episodes 1 through 6. I'm pretty sure you can draw your own conclusions on your own terms, but popular opinion and critical reviews would say that the overwhelming majority states that the movie is at least enjoyable, fun, and at least a worthy successor to Return of the Jedi. So, it bears repeating. Why is episode 7 categorized as fan fiction? Why put an asterisk next to a film and try to label it that way? I've laid out Spider-Man as an example as a property that has flourished in other artists' hands, but this is pretty easy to keep going on about. Superman, created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster in 1933. Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman was published in 2006. It's widely believed to be one of the best works. Batman, created by Bob Kane, Bill Finger in 1939. Jeff Loeb's The Long Halloween was released in 1996. Once again, cited to be one of the best Batman stories of all time. Black Widow was conceived by Stan Lee, Don Rico, Don Heck in 1964. Meanwhile, The Name of the Rose wasn't released until 2010 and is looked at as the de facto Black Widow storyline. Break-In and Break-In 2 had a slightly different writing team. A story about breakdancing. And the second one is considered to be better than the first. People often argue that – second one really is better. We can talk about that after the show. People often argue that James Cameron's Aliens is better than Ridley Scott's original tale of Ellen Ripley in Alien. Skyfall currently holds a much higher review score than nearly every other James Bond 007 tale written by Ian Fleming. And he wrote a lot. A lot of them weren't good, but a lot of them were too. The Wrath of the Khan, not written by Gene Roddenberry. Think about that. It isn't the fate of every creator to see their original works taken and be improved upon by a new generation. It is a gift for creators to see their characters be interpreted, challenged, and deciphered into new mediums. The world changes every single day, and the time and place where George Lucas shaped these characters is infinitely different than the world that we live in present day. Fan fiction does not take the place of writing an original piece of art. I'll never argue that churning out another story from a long-established character is more interesting than a new idea. Original IP always wins. However, for many, fan fiction-esque works are often a gateway to keep people to get people into other things. I never would have read the original Batman origin had it not been for Scott Snyder's The Black Mirror. I never would have been into Buffy the Vampire Slayer had I not watched the Zeppo episode, which was not written by Joss Whedon. Before people groan, yes, I am ashamed. I once thought that Xander was the coolest character on the show. He is most definitely not the coolest character on the show. Here's a more esoteric example. In grade school, I was a terrible student. I was the one who listened to emo music, was labeled different by many peers, and spent 2 days every week getting pummeled on the playground. It was a Catholic school. Did a lot for me. And it's fine. It's fine. That's something that I take with me. However, my grades began to suffer. I didn't care about much. I had gone from getting straight A's and high marks to actually worrying about getting into high schools. This is where my anxiety began to manifest itself. At the age of 14, I saw The Matrix and felt inspired in a way I had never been before. My declining English grade was eating away at me, so I threw a Hail Mary to my teacher and asked her if I could write something for extra credit. So yes, at the age of 14, I wrote a 10-page fan fiction story that boosted my grade from a D-plus to a B-plus. Yeah, I know, right? I was a total Gary Sue in every sense of the word, but I got to go around with Neo, Morpheus, Trinity, both tanks, and it really was not a good story, but I figured that if I could do that, I could do something else. Eventually, this work of fan fiction led me to writing other original things. I have since completed 4 movies, filmed 2 of them. I have written 4 music videos, filmed all 4. Longer things, better things. My point is that fan fiction should not be a pejorative or an asterisk to place alongside a review. It is rather a gateway. And sure, 99% of it's pure shit. We can all say that. We know it's pure shit. I'll never say every piece of fan fiction is good, but the 99% of fan fiction that ends up as my Matrix story can evolve and morph into the 1%. And let's ignore 50 Shades of Grey, because we all know how that turned out. But if you're even thinking about writing something, I encourage you to at least try. You're not in school, but you can always keep learning. Thank you.
All right, so Amazing Spider-Man number 1, cover dated March 1963, but Amazing Fantasy 15, cover dated August 1962. So Aaron was correct. Also, if you know the comic market at all, it's crazy that it took like 8 months for him to get his own book. Jesus, that's like a glacier now. Like Spider-Gwen, 2 months. Time before the internet, man. It was a different world. You had to write letters.